Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for each of these guests that has come here to join with us in the study of your word. Thank you for the many blessings that you've already poured upon us, for this download of your messages around the world, Lord. We pray that it changes lives and hearts and people so that they will learn to walk with you. We pray for all these that are out today, that are traveling. I thank you for each and every lady in here, Lord. Special blessings upon them. These mothers, such a unique creation that you put upon this earth. So unique and different than anything else. If nothing else in the world would show us that you are real, Lord, mothers certainly would. We thank you for each and every one of them. Lead, guide, and direct us now as we get into your word, that we study the deep things. In your holy and precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Okay. Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Any of you that haven't been here before, we're studying the book of Revelation. We're studying verse by verse to get a complete and deep understanding of God's Word. That's the way I think it is. Revelation chapter 6. Take a look there. The first seal has been opened. We went over that last week. But just give me a little, let me give you a little background where we are. Christ is the Lamb here. He has qualified to open the seals. These are the first judgments. The church has been raptured. It's not on the earth anymore. The church is in heaven. And this great tribulation that has been spoken of throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, 24th chapter of Matthew, 21st chapter of Luke, is about to happen on the earth. A lot of people want to know what's getting ready to happen. So this is what's happening. A man comes in riding on a white horse. He has a bow, which means he will conquer without an arrow, without war to start with. This is the Antichrist. When the church is raptured, the Antichrist rises to power. The Holy Spirit has left in the church. So he has now the ability to rise to the pinnacle of being the king of the earth. That's basically what he's going to do. And he's going to take over. The Bible tells you in other places that he is going to conquer with greatness and with charisma and with words. I mean, take a look at Hitler. If you don't think that can happen, look at what Hitler did. He took a country, Germany, who was financially totally broke, in total depression. Its people were beaten down after World War I and taxed to a point to where they couldn't even hardly make a living. And this man comes on the scene all of a sudden. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. They even had him put in jail. But he comes on the scene and he brings this country, Germany, out of the doldrums. The people love him. They think he's the great savior of Germany. A lot of people thought he was the Antichrist. There were a number of articles written about Hitler saying he was the Antichrist. But in the 1930s, he brings this country up by its bootstraps and makes a powerful nation of it. And he goes out and he says, I'm not really interested in conquering anybody. I'm at peace with the world. Chamberlain, some of you may remember that, gets off of an airplane in England and he has a piece of paper signed by Hitler and said he's not going to go to war. Well, one just short time after that, he invades Poland. And by the time he dies in his bunker by his own hand, about 6 years later, some 60-odd million people on this earth have died. And the major cities of Europe are laying in just crumbled ruins. So, don't think it can't happen. It's going to happen again. But the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, that's why he's riding a white horse. It shows fast, quick, conquering, a bow. He's going to do it by charisma, not by might to start with. And he's given a crown, which means rulership. And then he starts conquering and to conquer. Now look at verse 3. These seals are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The word apocalypse just means an unveiling. And the first four of these, and I told you last week, and I want to repeat it again for those that didn't hear it. These first four seals are brought on directly because the Antichrist comes to power. If you watch what happened to Hitler and his people in Europe and the millions that died because of him, the same thing's going to happen with the Antichrist. Remember, the church is gone. The world's going to love him. They're going to say he's a great peacemaker, power broker. He has the economic answers the world's looking for. He answers the Middle Eastern problem, which today nobody has been able to do between the Jews and Arabs. So they're going to love him. But here's what's going to happen. Verse 3. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature. That word beast, if it's in your Bible, it means living creature. Say, come and see. Now, that, every time in these seals are open, you'll hear these words, come and see. It's actually, the Greek should be translated, be coming. I want you to be coming and looking. Be coming. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him. The man that sits on him, this red horse, power is given to him. He doesn't have power of his own. Power is given to him. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Now after the Antichrist rises to power and consolidates his empire through peaceful means and everything of that nature, his great charisma and all this, then comes after that, then comes war. Just like Hitler and other dictators before him, they come on as peacemakers, they make things look great, but then war always follows. It's part of history. You know, people say, well, I don't like to study history. If you don't study history and you don't understand history, you're bound to repeat the mistakes of history. I have a definition of history. Some of you teachers may not like it, but I'm going to tell you what it is anyhow. It tells the failures of men. That's what history is. It's a record of the failures of men. And we continue to not pay attention. And we continue on. So war now is going to follow this Antichrist after he gets power. A great sword means there's going to be a lot of war. Big war.
Is this writer also a follower of... If the first one is the Antichrist, is this a follower of Satan?
This horse is not a real horse. Again, this is symbolic. These horses mean speed, fast, swiftness. This war that follows the Antichrist, elsewhere, we'll get into that later on, there will be some nations that will oppose him. Some people will start opposing him after he comes to power. And then the wars are going to start. And that great sword means there's going to be a lot of war, a lot of destruction. This is not a person. This is just war in general over the world. Any other questions? Anybody? Okay. Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, be coming, or come and see, as it's translated. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. Now here this man sees, John sees this black horse. He's sitting there on the horse with a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Always following war is famine. That always happens. Look back through history, any of you, and some of you have been in the war and you have seen exactly what happens after war, the countries that are at war, famine always follows. It's just part of it. My great-great-grandfather lived through the Civil War, and I remember as a child talking to him about the effects of the Civil War. And one of the things that he always emphasized to me was the lack of food during and after the Civil War especially. I mean, it played in his mind constantly was the lack of food. Go back here, it says, the bare balances means that food will be scarce. It's going to be measured out very much in detail because it's going to be scarce. The measure of wheat for a penny, which is a measure, is like, I believe it's a quart for a penny. That actually should be translated denarius. It's a day's wages. Now what this means is that during this time, following these wars that are going on, famine's going to start stalking the land. And a man can work all day long for enough money just to buy a quart of wheat, which if you have wheat, that makes white flour, that makes white bread, which is the most sought after, and that's what you'll get for a whole day's wages. Now think about what you make today in the working world, and just imagine you're coming home after a day's work, and you have got just enough money to buy enough food for one person, a quart of wheat, just enough to make some bread. What about the rest of your family? What about the rest of them? And he goes on to say here, and barley for a penny, three measures or three quarts, barley makes black bread. And that's called the bread of the poor or the bread of the slaves. So it's going to affect the lower class, the lower working people of the world. This famine is going to affect them most. It always does. That's again part of history. He says, now, but don't hurt the oil and the wine. The rich people, the ones that are in power, the ones who have control, their food won't be touched. They're still going to be able to eat, and they'll have the fineries of life and so forth and so on. They'll be okay. But the poor person of the world, or the average working individual, are the ones that's going to be suffering. Any questions? Okay. Following war is famine. Now look at verse 7. Excuse me. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, be coming or come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. Now, always after a famine comes plague. That's just part of the cycle. War, famine, and then plague. It always happens. I was in Europe, spent some time in Europe, lived over there for a year. And some of the places we went to where they had great plagues, I remember one church, there was a column, stone column in this church. And scratched in this stone column, a man, the last man living in the village during this plague, had etched in there, I'm the last one alive. And he had buried all the rest of the villagers just in a mass grave outside this church in the churchyard. Just dug a grave and just poured all. And he was the last one alive. Story is, he went ahead and died, and somebody threw him in there with the rest of them. Famine always comes. Then you have plagues that follow that. You know, your medical people know what that is. This word pale is an interesting word in the Greek. It's cholerol. That's the word in the Greek, and it actually means a yellow-green substance. We all have seen flesh, tissue that's dying, and it turns a yellow-green. That's what this word means. It means this horseman represents death as it's dying, the people, the bodies, the tissue. It's the word we get our word chlorophyll from, by the way, in the Greek. He says death and hell. That word hell should be translated Hades. That's not a good translated word. Everybody thinks hell is the lake of fire. It is not. Hell here, this word is Hades. That actually means the unseen world. All right? So after, as death, which is naturally follows the famine and the plagues, death comes right along and scoops up the bodies. That's what he's representing. Coming along and scooping up all these dead bodies. Hades, the unseen world, is gathering the souls from those dead bodies. Now when the body dies, the soul leaves. So it's a lot of this is going on, terrible things. Power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth. Notice, it says fourth part of the earth. Now this could be one of two things. It could either be a fourth part geographically of the earth, or it could be a fourth part of the population. We're just not told. But let me say this. Whichever one it is, there's a lot of death. There's about 6 billion people on the earth right now, I think is one of the latest estimates that I've seen. 6 billion. So if this were to happen, if it is a fourth part of the population, you're talking about 1.5 billion people. 1.5 billion people. Okay? Think about that for a minute. That's what we're talking about. So the tribulation period, is it going to be bad? You better believe. We're just getting started. Anybody who's not a Christian is going to be left behind when the Lord comes to go through this. Well, I encourage anybody who has never accepted Christ, think about what's going to happen to this earth. What's going on now is nothing compared to what is going to happen. Over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, hunger, death, and the beasts of the earth. We don't know exactly what this beast of the earth means. We do know this. Anytime you have war and famine and plague, we do know that wild beasts come out of their surroundings, the woods, and prey upon the dying and the dead. Okay? I'm not going to get any further than that. Some of you may want to eat lunch. But all of you know what I'm talking about, so without getting graphic, I could tell you a lot of stories, but I'm not going to. But this is what happens. And this is what mankind is going to start suffering after the rapture of the church. And the Antichrist, who they love, comes on the scene. Now remember, the people of the world love this man. And they accept him. But this is what he brings on when he comes to power. Just like Hitler brought his country down into ruins, flames, burning, and death. Any questions on those first four seals?
Do we know what kind of time frame there is between the seals?
We're not given a time frame in there. What the text makes you believe that one follows another during the tribulation period. Now, exactly where it's all placed in this seven-year period, it just doesn't tell us. Some scholars say it all happens at once. I don't think that's the way it happens. I think one follows another. The war, the famine, the plagues, I think these continue to follow. Any other questions?
Hey, Carl, I've always heard that when this time of period, seals are opening, when so many people are dying, that the like vultures, crows,
oh, yeah.
Pray,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine, like I say, just imagine if it happened now. If they're talking about a fourth of the population. You're talking about 1.5 billion people. You couldn't bury that many people. There's no way in the world you couldn't do it. So, the wild animals are going to come out. It's going to be like it. And if you that have been in war, you've probably seen that happen. And if you read anything about war, you know it happens. So that's just part of it. The wild beasts are going to come out as well. Anybody else? Okay, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now the fifth seal is not a judgment. The fifth seal is something different. When he opens the fifth seal, he sees under this altar at the throne of God, he sees the souls of them that were slain, notice this, for the word of God and the testimony which they held. A lot of people say, well, is there going to be anybody saved during the tribulation period? Sure. There's going to be 144,000 Jewish witnesses, and we'll get into that in just a little bit, that are going to be telling the world that Christ is coming back and the kingdom he is going to set up. Now the Antichrist is not going to like this message, and he's going to try to destroy them and kill them. All those who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are being killed during this time. Jews and Gentiles alike. And these souls, it says here, are up under the altar there of God. By the way, let me say this about the word souls. So many people mistake the soul and the spirit as being the same thing. Now, my class has heard this for a long time, but I'm going to say it again because a lot of people in here have not heard this. The soul and the spirit are two different things. We are made in the image of God. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. All three of these are separate entities. The soul and the spirit are not the same thing. If you go into the Hebrew dictionary and the Greek dictionary, you will see that the soul and spirit are two totally different words. In fact, in the Greek, psuche is the word for soul, and nephesh is in the Hebrew. The word soul literally means a living being. Now, I'm going to shock some of you now about what I'm about to say. Your animals have a soul. When I was sick Friday night and I was sitting on the couch by myself, Bonnie had gone to bed. She couldn't stand standing with me, I was in so much pain, so she went on to bed. And my little dog, who has a soul, he was up there right, she was right there beside of me, trying to comfort me during the night while I was in so much pain. Now that dog has a soul. What the dog doesn't have is a spirit. Now that's what makes us difference between the animal world and the human world. We have a spirit that comes from God that allows mankind to recognize a supreme being. Now that little dog, I love her, and she sits while I'm studying, back in my study. Now sometimes I do it verbally, and she hears all this that you're hearing right now. But you know what? She's never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And she's not going to. She's not capable of it. But she does have a life. She does have a soul. But we have a spirit. And we can recognize God and His Word. That's what the difference is. So, and I hear so many people, the reason I'm taking time for that, I hear so many people think that the soul and the spirit are exactly the same thing. That is not true. This word soul here just means a life. These people that were slain for their testimony during the tribulation period are up under the altar of God, and they're talking to God. They're uttering a prayer here, we'll see in just a minute. But they have a life. They're living in the spirit world. A lot of people know there's such a thing as soul sleep. There's a large group of people that teaches soul sleep. There's no such thing as soul sleep. Your body sleeps. Your body goes to the grave, to the ground. Your soul, your life, your psyche lives on. And your spirit lives on. And all three will be reunited in the resurrection. Anybody have any questions on that? The reason I bring that up is because everywhere I've ever talked, so many people misunderstand spirit and soul. They think they're the same thing and they are not the same thing. Okay? Everybody got a good grasp of that. You understand far more than a lot of people in this world than right now, if you know that. That's great. These people here are slain for the Word of God and for the testimony. They were living their testimony. And verse 10, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now this is kind of a little different from what Stephen said when they were stoning him to death, or what Jesus said from the cross. They were asking for forgiveness of their persecutors and their executioners. Notice the difference. We're in a different time frame now. The age of grace is past. Now it's time for judgment. So what they're telling God is, hey, God, these people killed us down here, and we're here and we're petitioning you. We want you to judge them. See the difference? There are things called dispensations in Scripture. It means times how God deals with people. And that's part of understanding the Bible correctly, is putting things in their proper dispensation. This dispensation here is dispensation of judgment. Now, so these people that were killed for their testimony and everything else, they're asking God right there under the altar with Him, "We want you to avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth." Any questions on that? There is a time in God's time frame when He is going to take judgment out. He's a God of true purpose, judgment. He's a God of mercy. But He does not let anything go by that will not be judged properly. Verse 11, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season." Notice this. Here they are crying out for judgment. "God, we want you to go down and judge those people on this earth. I mean, they've killed us. They're going to kill more like us. We want you to go down there and judge them." And God says, "I'm going to give you a white robe." God is doing something to them that I have to do to my granddaughter every week. I have a little granddaughter that lives next door. She's 10, I think, now. And she lives at our house as much as she does with Mom and Dad's. But she has one thought. She is not patient. She wants to get everything done in a hurry. Everything's in a rush, hurry, hurry. So she comes over, and I have this one word that she and I go over all the time, and it's called patience. And she'll get over and she'll get something started like a fireball and say, "Macy, just stop right now." What's that word? I know, Poppy, it's patience. Right. Patience. We go over this every week. Now, God here is going over this with these souls that have been martyred. He's saying patience. Okay? And here's the reason why. That they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So God's answer to them is this. Just be patient. I'm going to give you a white robe. It means you've come out of the tribulation. You've been martyred for your testimony and you're accepting me. But just be patient because there's more of you to come. More of them are going to die on the earth just like you have. So just be patient until that is finished. Teddy.
Are we talking about all the ones that during the tribulation period have been saved?
We're talking about those people.
These are the ones that are under the throne of God.
That's right.
They're the ones up there with them.
They have been killed during the tribulation period.
They're not the saints that have been pulled by taken out in the rapture.
No.
These are the ones that are picked up.
That's right. These are the ones that are dying during the tribulation period, and they're under the throne and they're petitioning God to go down and judge these evil people who are killing all of them on the earth like them. And He says, "Hey, just wait, and we'll give you a robe. Just be patient because there's more." And there's more popping up under that altar all the time because the Antichrist is on the warpath down here and he's killing every Christian that he can get his hands on. And this is going to happen all during the tribulation period. So,
are these new Christians since the church has already been moved?
These are new believers in Christ. That is correct. There'll be a message being taught during the tribulation period. God's not going to leave mankind down here without somebody preaching to them. He's always got somebody preaching to them. Now, whether they want to accept it or not is their issue. They'll have to make a choice. We'll get more into this as we get on further in the book of Revelation in detail. But yes, there will be many people saved during the tribulation period, and you're seeing them first show up here first, right now. Pardon me? The 144,000 witnesses. You'll also have the two witnesses that will stand on the earth and that will teach until the Antichrist has them killed in Jerusalem. So, remember, we've all got TV. You can turn on a movie right now. Kenny was over there in the war in Iraq, and we could sit right there and probably watch Kenny walk down the streets in Baghdad. They wanted to put a camera on him in real time. You sit there and watch the Air Force bomb Baghdad real time. So, it's no big deal now. You're going to see it worldwide. We now have that capability. And again, the Bible said there would come a time, and we're here. We have arrived. Anybody else? Will there be what, Bill? Will there be some unsaved preaching the gospel? No, they're not going to be preaching the gospel. The unsaved won't. There are going to be 144,000 Jewish witnesses that are going to be preaching. But they're going to be preaching a different message than what we're hearing now. They're going to be preaching that the kingdom is coming. Now think about this. One thing that enrages the Antichrist so much is what would happen if Hitler was over Nazi Germany and somebody started walking down Berlin, streets of Berlin, saying, "Hey, your time's numbered, Hitler. Somebody else is coming." This is exactly what's going to happen to the Antichrist. He's going to be on the throne on this earth, and there's going to be two witnesses that are going to start walking around that's got the power of God in them, doing all kinds of miracles. They can't be killed for a while. And they're preaching that Antichrist, guess what? Your time is over. By the way, this book is going to be being read.
They just got about half a chapter.
Yeah, right. And this book is out there right now, and they can point to this book and say, "Here's how many months you got left. We can tell you." The 144,000 Jewish witnesses are telling the same thing. So this is going to make the Antichrist extremely upset. And he's going to go after everybody who is accepting this message of the kingdom is coming.
Also, once the church is raptured, we still have the Bible thing. We still have sermon audio. We still have DVDs. This message can still be conveyed to folks who are not Christians. So there's things that we leave behind in prayer and children and friends and family that are already the seed that we planted.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like it's been completely void and has to start from scratch.
That's right.
The legacy behind that the two witnesses can start over with.
Yeah, it's like these discs that we make here. These discs that we make with these messages on it. Who knows? Somebody in the tribulation period may pick one of them up and play it. Say, man, well, I'm in this thing right now. I mean, this guy was talking about it several years back, and here I am in the middle of this thing right now. And this is exactly what's happening. Like Doug says, there's all kind of mediums that will be out. The Bibles will be out there. There's a group of people several years back that went over in the city of Petra and buried a whole box of Bibles there because somebody thinks the Jews are going to go back there during the tribulation period. And they said, well, there's one thing about it. If this is where they're going to go, then they can dig these Bibles up and they start reading them during the tribulation period. I don't know whether Petra is a place or not a refuge. It's a possibility that it is over in Jordan. But, yes, the word will be getting out. And the Antichrist is not going to be happy about it. Richard?
It says here, some grown off and praying to death.
Yeah.
Where's the Spirit at?
The Spirit goes back to God. And they'll all be reunited again in the resurrection. Anybody else? Yes, Dave. For a time frame, yes, they'll be protected. Yeah, we'll get into that. We're coming up on them shortly. Anybody else? Okay. Got a few more minutes here. God's telling them to rest. The fellow servants also, the brothers should be killed as they were, that should be fulfilled. Again, God has a time frame. He's got a timetable. He's going to do things according to His timetable, not man's. Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Now this, the fifth seal is the martyr there, the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken in the mighty wind. Now some people, if you read some commentaries, they say, well, this is the nations being shaken, and they represented by these different natural things. Again, as I told you when we started Revelation, if common sense makes sense, don't seek any other sense. Jesus said in the 24th chapter there'd be earthquakes and all of these signs in heaven. The Old Testament, Joel, and some of the other prophets prophesied the same thing. When you have earthquakes and the heavenly bodies are disturbed, many times been recorded in history, the sun has become darkened. Back in the 1700s in New England, there was 3 days of total darkness in the United States. Never been explained before or since. Nobody knows why it happened. So many times in history, the moon has become just like blood red. They really don't know why. But it has happened before. It's going to happen again. These are natural disasters that are happening upon the earth. It involves the heavenlies. The heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bond man and every free man. Notice this covers everybody from top to bottom. Hid themselves. If this wasn't the natural disasters, then this wouldn't be the people, as some commentators claim. This is natural disasters. I mean, we had a tsunami a year or so ago, and look, it shook the whole world up. That was just one little small thing compared to what this is going to happen. Ted, you have something?
Yes.
All right.
You know, back in the early Bible, when the Tower of Babel, and the world split, it separated out. The continents all separated, and everybody was disoriented. In this verse right here, when every mountain and island is moved out of its place, do you think maybe that the Lord is going to put it back together?
I don't know whether you're going to put it back together or not, Teddy.
That could happen.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Put it all back together. In other words, you've got everybody in the same area.
Yeah.
Not spread all over the world.
Yeah, in the Old Testament, and there was a man by the name of Peleg. In the Old Testament, some of y'all want to do some research. I won't get into that right now. But in the Old Testament, there's a man by the name of Peleg. It says in his lifetime, the waterways were sunk. And that's where Bible scholars believe that the continents came apart and separated during his lifetime. But go on and do a little research on Peleg.
But, you know, the United States, North and South America are not even mentioned in the Bible anywhere.
Not specifically by name, no. But a lot of people don't know if America is mentioned by name. No.
I mean, it's just kind of one head thing.
Well, it's...
But, you know, if you bring it all back together, it's going to come into play.
Oh, yeah. Well, when it says the islands will be moved out of the place and mountains come down, I mean, this is what's going to happen to nature during this time of the tribulation period. Now, how far, you know, he'll move continents and so forth, I don't know. But I do know he's going to shake the world enough that everybody from the top king down to the lowest person in the street and the social ladder is going to know that God is doing it. Look here what it says here. Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They know exactly who is causing these great catastrophic judgments on the earth, and they're shaken about it. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, even though they are against God, shaking their fist in His face, God's wrath is still poured out on them, and they're begging for God to be hid from Him. They know who's doing it. They know who's doing it. God's letting them know without unmistakable signs that He is the one that is in control, not them.
The anger of the Lamb, is that Christ?
That's Christ. Christ has control of this, and He's the one bringing judgment. So the sixth seal now starts the great natural catastrophic disasters upon the earth. The sixth seal does. We got one more left. Anybody else have any?
Well, it seems like here they're recognizing Christ is who He was.
That who?
Jesus is the Christ. They're recognizing that now. Is that
recognize Him and accept Him are two different things.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, they will recognize who He is. The Antichrist will know who Christ is. But he rejects Him, opposes Him, and does everything that he can against Him. That's why he's called the Antichrist.
Yeah, but I mean, the people will. What the word says, the people were hiding in the cave.
Yeah. Yeah, the world is going to know. When all of this starts in this sixth seal, the world is going to know that God is doing this to the earth. The Lamb is. Christ is. But again, man is stubborn, and the largest majority of men are still not going to accept Him. Okay? Even in spite of that. That's the hardness of man's heart. Deceitfully wicked. Evil above all things. Who can know it? That's what God says about our hearts. Anybody else? I'm going to have to close for time.
Better get saved now. Better be saved now.
The best thing to do is get your ticket right now. Okay? Don't wait. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You for this wonderful study. Thank You for letting us know that You are in control even after we leave. And You will judge this earth in a proper manner. Not as human judges judge, but as You judge, Lord. It will be honest and true and proper. And then when the end does come of Your judgment, it will be a place that will be honorable and glory to live in and worship You. Lord, be with everybody the rest of this day. I thank You again for all the mothers and the wonderful contributions that they have made to our lives. In Your holy and precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a good week. Call me if you need me, and thank you for coming.